Hey, yo, Pro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And while you're at it, if you are a Facebook user and you are sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 every year for the newest, latest, greatest wrestling video game, stop paying the money. Shoot over to Wrestler Unstoppable, available for free on Facebook. Create your own wrestler, customize your look, your style, your whole persona. You can go and sign contracts, you can join companies, headline pay-per-views, even create your own organization. All built into the platform that is Wrestler Unstoppable. Check it out today, totally free on Facebook. And for those who want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, go to patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast Patreon family. And this month, we have a special event going on. Anyone who becomes a $25 contributor to Patreon will be able to host an episode, co-host with me live on one of our Going Live at 9:05 segments on Saturday nights. And if you are a $10 contributor this month, you would be able to have your name put into the hat for the same, the opportunity to host a show with me live on a Saturday night broadcast. We'll patch you in, get you set up, tell you what's going on with the episode, and be able to get your comments live on one of our shows. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. Don't forget that the fan voting for the best female wrestler of all time is live right now. The voting is going to be open for one more week. We're closing down the voting next week. Make sure you get in there. There are 13 voting blocks. It is a huge tournament. You want to make sure you give yourself enough time to get in there and make all your votes. But it is a very cool tournament. I'm getting a lot of great free feedback from you guys already. I hope you're enjoying that. And as we go through the tournament, I am really looking forward to some of the pairings that I think are going to come out of this tournament. I think you guys are really going to enjoy that opportunity. As we go through the show, feel free to call into the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line at 267-642-1160. Or what has been actually a lot more helpful is anybody who goes on to the show through the Spreaker software, Spreaker's website, Spreaker.com, or if you go to the Fro Wrestling Podcast on our website at FroWrestling.com, you can access a chat feature, which will pop up directly on my screen as we go through the show, and I can try to address your questions, your comments, concerns, anything you have you want to add to the show. Remember, I always love to bring your perspective to the show, and I always am thrilled to be able to do that as much as possible. So if you have anything you want us to cover, feel free to do that. And on the topic of FroWrestling.com, our homepage for the podcast, if you want to find out what the topics are that we're going to be discussing in any given episode, they are all available for you to see ahead of time on that website. Tonight, we've got a lot to talk about. There's some exciting things, some concerning things, and we haven't had the opportunity to review the shows from the week. It's been a crazy week for the Fro Wrestling Podcast. So we're going to get right into it. I'm going to start with, you know, I'm going to go in somewhat chronological order. I'm going to hit the pay-per-view. We'll talk some Raw. We'll talk some SmackDown, and then we'll get into the news. So I assure you, people who want to talk about the most important thing of the week, we will get to that, but that will be a little bit later in the show. First off, Hell in a Cell. The fallout from that show, I actually thought the pay-per-view was relatively decent. What I was concerned with is I didn't understand some of the booking of the show. I thought that the title changes, Baron Corbin finally winning the United States Championship, I thought was done very well. I thought that the Usos picking up the Tag Team Championship also done very well. I'm not thrilled that I don't see where the New Day goes from here. But I thought the match itself, that whole part where they had the, I don't know if it was Jimmy or Jey Uso, whichever one in the corner and was like locking him in with the kendo sticks and then beating the snot out of him, that was just beautiful, classic wrestling moment. That's one that you'll look back on in future years. Whenever you watch a Hell in a Cell match, they'll show that clip because that was just amazing. When it comes to the segment where Xavier Woods was no-selling the Kane shots for a while, they're whacking the snot out of him, I thought that was great. Made the match very entertaining. The only thing I thought this match lacked was any sort of involvement from Kofi Kingston. Look, I understand it's the Freebird rule. Any two could compete for the championship. But this is a cage match and it's no disqualification. You know, we all know that, obviously, with the Shane McMahon match later in the evening, we know these are no disqualifications. So why wouldn't Kofi Kingston find a way to get in that ring and ensure his team retains the tag team championship? Now, I have a feeling that WWE is going to go away from the New Day for a short period of time, before they bring them back. Because remember, the long-term plan, at least according to all the dirt sheets, and let me do my weekly thing, whether you're watching WrestleZone.com, eWrestling News, Wrestling Inc., Cage Side Seats, The Bleacher Report, F4W Online, PWI-Online.com, any of those sites, I look at the same ones that you do. That's what they're all reporting, is that the plan is for the Usos to be the greatest tag, or I'm sorry, not the Usos, the New Day to be the greatest tag team in the history of wrestling, having more reigns than any other tag team, which would right now sits at 9, which is the Dudley Boys. So they got a long ways to go. They're 4-time tag team champions. It's time to, you know, maybe move away from them for a few months because we need to keep the division feeling fresh. And we'll get into that a little bit later in the show, what they've done with that. But I thought at the pay-per-view, though, I thought the match came off very well. It was very well executed. Not real thrilled with the ending of the Natalya-Charlotte match. I thought it was very weak. I'm thrilled that Natalya kept the championship because, as I said in our last podcast episode, I'm really looking forward to Charlotte winning that championship in Greensboro, North Carolina, at Starrcade, which I'm really hoping they turn into a network special. They should. There's no reason they couldn't. If anybody remembers a couple years ago when Brock Lesnar, the Beast, returned to the Land of the Rising Sun and they put that, you know, house show special on the network with him over there taking on, I believe it was Kofi Kingston in that match. They had no problem doing a, you know, on the spot house show on the network. So there's no, it's not a technological issue. It's purely a lack of motivation. You know, my understanding is that they're doing this show to capitalize on the popularity of the local convention going on. I get that. But you can't miss on these opportunities. This is a very special opportunity. They need to do that. But it at the pay-per-view, I am thrilled that Natalya kept the title. I just would have had it go down a little differently. A little disappointed that some of the other people in the brand weren't on the show. Find a way to get people, like, even if it's in the kickoff show, Becky Lynch, Tamina. You know, Carmella's walking around with a Money in the Bank briefcase. She was nowhere to be found. You know, that you can't have that. She needs to be front and center. If you want that Money in the Bank briefcase to mean anything, she needs to be front and center. I have a little bit of an issue with Nakamura losing back-to-back pay-per-view main events for the world title. However, I cannot begin to tell you how happy I am that Jinder Mahal won his match clean. This was good because it solidifies that he can get this thing done when the Singh brothers aren't there. The Singh brothers, for those who didn't see the show, were sent to the back, and he ended up picking up the win clean. Now, I don't like burying Shinsuke Nakamura's character, but in a way, it's a good thing because it ends this feud and it saves Nakamura's world championship run for a later time when it'll mean a lot more. Obviously, they're keeping Mahal champion so he could face John Cena or another challenger in January ahead of the Royal Rumble. I suspect that's where he'll lose the championship, which in some weird way, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I almost feel bad about, because it's almost like Jinder Mahal, a former jobber, has really come into his own. He's really performing well in shows. His in-ring ability has improved greatly. And he's not a jobber anymore. And I feel like he's earned the spot and he's really held the championship well. And he's adding some legitimacy to a title that they're not even featuring on the shows. Let me be clear. I was listening to an episode of another podcast and they were saying about how unimportant the WWE Championship is right now because of Mahal and him not being featured on SmackDown. I completely disagree. What I think is that Jinder Mahal not being featured on SmackDown in a more prominent way is not because the championship means less, and it has nothing to do with how well he's carrying the belt. It has more to do with creative being morons, which we all complain about. Mahal is getting over as a champion. People are paying to see him lose. They don't like the guy as champion, not because he's a horrible talent, but because they just don't like his character, the role he's playing. So he's playing the bad guy very well. But I think he has improved in so many ways. I think he's earned the right to continue to carry that championship as long as necessary. Obviously, he can't hold it forever, but the guy's going to have an impressive win. Championship run either way, so congratulations to him for picking up a legit clean victory. Can't talk about Hell in a Cell and not talk about what went down with the main event, watching Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn reunite as friends as Sami Zayn saves Kevin Owens from a huge Shane McMahon off the top of the Hell in a Cell cage spot. We all knew it was going to happen at some point in the thing. I was surprised, if you were watching that match closely, that the top of the cage didn't break about a half a dozen times. And it looked like sometimes these guys were legitimately hurting themselves whenever they would land on one of the girders that supports the crossbeams in the top of the cage. unbelievable match. The only issue I have is almost none of it. I don't even know if any of it took place in the actual wrestling environment, which I'm okay with a street fight every now and again, but still, it is still a professional wrestling event. It's still a sports entertainment event. There should have been some likening to that product as well. But all in all, I thought Hell in a Cell was pretty above average. I won't say it's average, a little slightly above average for a show. Fast forwarding to the next night, we go to Raw, where we see the long anticipated reunion of The Shield. Absolutely ridiculous, because you wasted it. WWE has been wasting big moments a lot lately, whether it's John Cena versus Braun Strowman for free on television, Nakamura versus Cena for free on television, other matches that are main event level matches they've given away for free on television, or this big Shield reunion. I get it. We got to start building towards the main event at TLC, but you know what you do? You have Miz TV where he's interviewing Sheamus and Cesaro. You have the tag team champions come out to interrupt the interview. They all three of them jump the tag team champions and Roman makes the save. You don't have them walk out together. There has to be one of those like straw that broke the camel's back moments where they all finally come together. Does anybody remember when the Spirit Squad was beating up Triple H in the ring and Vince McMahon had four of them out there beating him up and he called for the fifth and all of a sudden you saw one of the Spirit Squad members come flying out of the back? And Shawn Michaels walked out, and he charged down to the ring, and they cleaned house, and they hit their finishers, and then they were going nose-to-nose, he and Triple H, and they reunited as DX. That is how you book a reunion of incredible factions. This was completely lackluster. This was lazy booking. This was horrible creative. This was them rushing a segment, and I was completely disgusted with the wasted opportunity that they had there. Now, going forward, TLC's main event was announced. It was The Miz, Sheamus, and Cesaro taking on The Shield. We all anticipated that. So that is now in the books and ready to go for TLC. Moving on from there, though, the rest of the show, I was not impressed. I just wasn't. First off, the Sister Abigail angle where Bray Wyatt is playing Sister Abigail. I understand Finn Balor has multiple personalities, but really, do we need another guy who's just a Looney Tune who has multiple personalities? This is not Mick Foley with the three faces of Foley. This is something on a whole different level. You've had fans that have been waiting literally years to see Sister Abigail, and we reported on the rumors that this was what they were going to do, you know, last week, but the reality is we were still praying and hoping it wouldn't be Bray Wyatt himself, that there would be some kind of female talent behind this. And with all the flirtation online from various individuals, you really thought there was a possibility that they were going to get it right and do something different. I think the whole angle is atrocious. You know, if you're going to bring in Sister Abigail, it's somebody, you would have to have somebody who has very minimal television exposure to the WWE main audience. It can't just be some NXT girl. You know, if you want to scout somebody from the independents and bring them in, that makes a lot of sense to me. No television exposure, and they walk in, they're a fresh face to the company, and they play this cryptic role that people have been waiting years for. But you can't use an established star for that. And the worst thing you could do is use Bray Wyatt in that role, and that looks like that's what they're doing, which is horrible booking. Again, you're going to notice a theme in my complaining tonight about WWE booking, because it's just been just terrible lately. The Cruiserweight Championship. I'll jump to the main event. Cruiserweight Championship title change. There's a lot of controversy surrounding this. Apparently, this was not the original plan. It was supposed to be Neville versus Enzo in a non-title lumberjack match. There's some issues with Neville. We'll talk about that a little bit later. That's the hot topic for this episode. But Kalisto ends up getting the match, and it gets upgraded to a championship opportunity. And Kalisto wins the Cruiserweight Championship. So let's review this for a moment. Feuds, the reason people want to subscribe to a feud is because it has buildup, it has intrigue, it's excitement. You take the time and invest in a storyline so that when you finally reach the climax and a resolution, the people actually enjoy how that comes about. This had none of that. This feud started a week ago, and suddenly a week later, it's, I don't want to say it's over, but you've already had the big payoff. Now, if Kalisto goes into TLC and leaves, you know, losing the championship, no one's going to be surprised. Because let's face it, whether we love or hate Enzo, he actually was making the Cruiserweight division something to watch. But this is just poor booking again. Like, it's one thing that you had to replace a wrestler with, you know, Neville with Kalisto. That's, I can understand that. But you didn't have to make it a title match. You could have made it a non-title match and not announce the TLC pay-per-view match. And that way, when he wins the match, say now that he won the match, he earned his championship opportunity at TLC. But no, they screwed that up as well. We have a fatal five-way with the women. trying to figure out who's going to face Asuka at the pay-per-view at TLC. You know, to my surprise, not really, just joking, being facetious there. We all knew that Emma was going to win that. Emma comes out on top. Emma's going to face Asuka. This gives her a win over four of the most established female talents on Raw, which I guess is supposed to be elevating her to Asuka's level. In reality, this is going to be a glorified squash match. Asuka's going to come to the ring at TLC, and she's just going to destroy Emma. And it's going to be a joke. But at least it'll debut her with the company. Hopefully she's fully healed from her issues earlier last month or a month before, whatever it was. August, so I guess a month and a half. Good Lord, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. But the last thing I want to talk about on Raw, Braun Strowman coming out completely decimating Matt Hardy. What the heck are they doing to Matt Hardy and his character? Like, what a waste of an incredible talent. He's not even a mid-carder at this point. He's a glorified enhancement talent at this point. And so you have Braun come out and destroy him, and then the Shield come out and attack Braun, which leads to them doing a triple powerbomb through the table and leads to Braun Strowman being added to the main event of TLC. We were afraid of this. Now, the reason this is an issue for me is that we already speculated that that was going to happen on the last episode, but we also talked about the potential for an alternate plan for him at that pay-per-view. And that alternate plan was Samoa Joe. So Samoa Joe is supposed to be scheduled to return shortly, and that his return potential return opponent would be Braun Strowman. And I love that idea. I think that's a fantastic angle. Two huge, tough, just heavy hitters going at each other. It's a great feud for Samoa Joe, especially since it's his comeback from the injury. And it's a great way to build Braun even further and keep him going strong. Now that he had that loss to Brock Lesnar, you got to do something to reestablish him as the guy. And this would have been so much better. Now it makes it clear to me that Samoa Joe is not going to be brought back to television until after that show, unless they put him in a different feud, which would be a nightmare situation. But yeah, not thrilled with Raw at all this week. Other than the Shield reunion, there really was nothing that I thought was well executed. And the Shield reunion wasn't well executed, but at least it was exciting to see. So clearly they have issues on the booking committee for Raw. Now we move over to SmackDown. I love the tag team division segment to start the show. You got the Ascension out there, Breezango, the Hype Bros, and you've got, you know, what is that, American 2.0, Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. That sets up a fatal four-way tag team match to determine the number one contender. It's won by Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. They will take on the Usos. I'm fine with that. I think they're an interesting tag team. I think that they clearly have a lot to work on as far as their continuity in the ring. The Hype Bros look like they're still headed for a breakup. It's the longest breakup of a tag team I've ever seen in my entire life. It's almost to the point of ridiculousness. Breezango is still getting overlooked. They should have been the team to win this match, and they should have gotten a World Tag Team Championship run and then been the next ones to lose the titles to the New Day. But that didn't happen yet. Maybe they're holding that off. And you know, the Ascension are just wasted. They were so over in NXT. They come to the main roster, and they've just been complete cannon fodder. Terrible. So not thrilled with that. I'm thrilled that they gave all the tag teams an opportunity to have some exposure on television, but not thrilled with, you know, the fact that some of those teams really have no chance. And where are the shining stars and you know, Harper and Rowan? Oh, wait a minute. We know where Harper and Rowan are. They're the Bludgeon Brothers now because they somehow are no longer the Wyatt family. Now they're the Bludgeon Brothers, which for those who are too silly to not figure this out, in the fashion files, they've been talking about 2B Bludgeon Brothers, okay? They run this vignette. These two somehow now have found like big hammers out in the wilderness somewhere, and now they've changed their persona to a degree. I expect they'll be revealed as the ones who've been attacking Breezango, which I guess that'll be Breezango's feud. But the problem is when you're re-debuting these guys, they're legitimate tag team championship threats. They're actually really talented. So I wouldn't put them against Breezango because I don't want to see Breezango lose. I think they've earned the right to be a premier tag team with these fashion file vignettes, which, by the way, we were promised another one, the one that is based on Pulp Fiction, yet they didn't show it this Tuesday night. I don't know what they're thinking there. Moving on, we had like the worst interview segment I've seen, and that's saying something considering some of the ones Roman Reigns has put on. But Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode forgetting his lines, clearly it was a very awkward moment. I'm sure Vince had to be popping a gasket in the back just listening to that whole back and forth banter and bunch of nonsense. I think this match, the final blow-off, will be at Starrcade. Another reason I hope they put the show on the network so we could see what could potentially be the last feud of Dolph Ziggler's WWE career. This built to a rematch. Roode wins again, hits the glorious DDT. We expected nothing less. They're gonna be feuding for quite a while, for the rest of this, you know, November probably. And then it looks like Dolph Ziggler will probably ride off into the sunset. We get Baron Corbin in the main event, taking on AJ Styles, the United States Championship rematch. I love this match. Okay, so if I'm looking for a highlight in WWE programming this week, it's the Baron Corbin AJ Styles United States Championship match. You will notice, by the way, I did not cover every nook and cranny of each show. I didn't go into the Elias stuff or any of that stuff. I didn't go into the Carmella and whatever. None of that mattered to me. It was all fodder that it's fluff. You know, I remember when you were, you know, for those who remember writing essays and assignments in school, you know, you'd always throw in a few extra words here and there that didn't really mean anything, just so you can get to the number of words requirement. I'm speaking from a frame of reference because I'm a school teacher, but that's what students do. They call that fluff. That's what most of this other nonsense that I didn't address tonight is on Raw and SmackDown. It's fluff. It's stuff that's just thrown there to fill hours so they can get their advertising revenue. But this match, Corbin and Styles, fantastic match. Corbin picking up the clean victory over AJ Styles. Here's what always confuses me about WWE. By Corbin defeating AJ Styles, he is retaining the United States Championship, and AJ Styles' feud with him is now over. At least that's what I would assume. So now AJ Styles is free to go start a new feud to put himself in position to be world champion. Now, wait a minute. You lost the secondary title. Why would you suddenly become a top contender to the number one title? If you can't beat the number two guy, why do you get, you know, elevated to number one guy? It's like when somebody is in NXT. And they're the NXT champion and they lose the title and then go to the main roster, you know, because they're going to pursue something bigger. Why? How does that work? The only time they've ever done it right is with Kevin Owens when he still had the NXT championship and he was going after the U.S. title with John Cena. That made sense to me. He was still champion. But if you just lost the title, shouldn't you work your way up to defeat that champion before you get a higher position on the card? Just seems like it makes more sense to me. I know why they do it. It just doesn't make sense to me. There's a difference. I'm going to move on because I feel like there was some real missed opportunities with WWE programming this week. So first off, I mentioned earlier, there were several talents that were just not on any of the cards this week. I'm glad we got to see Becky Lynch perform, but when was the last time we saw Tamina, Lana? When's the last time we got to see, any tag team, any combination of Gallows and Anderson in actual meaningful action in the ring? They don't. They go out and they face Jason Jordan and get beat up by a rookie, essentially a rookie. The Elias stuff. Like, why? Why are we beating Apollo Crews for the third time in 3 weeks? Like, I don't understand that. I don't understand the missed opportunities where you could really be establishing some people and giving people meaningful content. So I don't know. I have frustrations with WWE this week. I'm going to move on to the other news of the week, starting with Jim Cornette. This week, he has two tidbits in the news. One, he is going to be managing, for what he is saying is the last time in his career he'll be managing, Dan Severn. There is a event coming up this weekend where he will be in Severn's corner. I expect that we'll see him use the tennis racket one last time, and then apparently Jim Cornette is going to be leaving the world of professional wrestling as a manager, at least. So yeah, congratulations to him on a long and wonderful career. But the bizarre part about Jim Cornette this week is he had, you know, we talked about this a little bit the last episode, he had this big issue with Santino at a convention where he and Santino got in this loud verbal argument, threatening to slap each other and all this kind of nonsense. He's responded since then, and in typical Jim Cornette fashion, thoroughly offensive about Santino and calling him all kinds of profanity and whatnot. I don't know where that gets you. The reality is, if anybody who's a wrestling historian remembers the story, when he slapped Santino around because he laughed at the Boogeyman gimmick, I laughed at the Boogeyman gimmick when I first saw it too. Now, I get it. You don't want to break kayfabe, but you don't put your hands on somebody. It's that simple. I know it seems weird. We're talking about a physical sport, and then you're saying don't put your hands on somebody. But he's in a management position of authority for WWE, working in developmental territory of Ohio Valley Wrestling at the time, and he's slapping around talent. You can't do that. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. He got fired and he still has ill will towards Santino. That's his problem, his cross to bear. But he needs to get over it at this point. I'm going to look at classic WCW tag teams, and there is one that is returning to action very soon. For those who love nostalgia acts, one of the promotions is coming up is going to have the Faces of Fear, Meng and the Barbarian, returning to action together. Now, I know some people who watch the New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access Television have seen that King Haku, or whatever you want to call him, his kids are in the Bullet Club. They're the Gorillas of Destiny. He's very active in their careers. He's very visual. We've seen him on Access Television several times. He was at that New Japan US special that they held. But he's going to be returning to the ring. And he and the Barbarian are actually in pretty good shape considering their age. They still look great. And they're going to get in a ring and they're going to have another go-around, which is going to be fabulous. I actually look forward to finding that match on YouTube once it's available. One of the big stories this week was actually Dana White in UFC was asked about Brock Lesnar, whether or not they're going to make this mega match between Brock Lesnar and Jon Jones at some point. Well, it turns out that he lets the cat out of the bag that Brock Lesnar's contract is not over after WrestleMania the way we thought. It's actually up after SummerSlam next summer. So Brock Lesnar's contract is actually significantly longer than originally thought, almost 6 months longer than we originally thought. That's going to change some of the trajectory for when Brock would potentially be leaving or be able to have that fight with Jon Jones. And you have to wonder, like, how long they could wait to put that match together. Look, I'm not saying Brock Lesnar's not in great shape, but the guy's 40. You know, he's not going to want to fight forever. So if they're going to make this match happen, they got to get it going here. It's going to take too long. If you have to wait till after SummerSlam, he'll get back into testing protocol so he can fight again. You got to get that out of the way. You know, you got to wonder if Vince is going to throw more money at him to keep him around. I would if I was Vince. I think he's a big enough star that you'd do that. But nothing's going to change until at least SummerSlam. Speaking of Brock Lesnar, broke a record this week. He has set the record for the longest Universal Champion in history, which may sound like a wonderful, glorious thing. It's not that big a deal. Think if you remember, the Universal title has only been around for a year and a few months. You know, so you had Finn Balor win it. He held it for a day. You had Kevin Owens win it, and he held it for an extended period of time. Until Fastlane, where he lost the title to Goldberg, who held it for a month. And then he had Brock win it, and he's never on television or pay-per-views, you know, unless he wants to be. So now he's not booked for TLC, so obviously he'll still be champion after this month. And then Survivor Series, where I don't expect him to defend the title. I expect him to be involved in some kind of Survivor Series-related match. That seems to be what they're booking Jinder Mahal in. So you would expect that both world champions will be in that match. That's what I would do. But that also means it's another month that he'll have the championship, where he's essentially facing no one. So I really do see him keeping that title at least until the Royal Rumble, probably until WrestleMania, which means he'll get a full year run with the title, with having maybe four defenses throughout the whole year. Now, the rumor is at Survivor Series, he may be taking on Finn Balor. I am okay with that. I just don't see any way right now, the way Finn Balor's character has been built up, for him to look like a legit threat. And if you don't look like a legit threat, why are you doing the match? You're just filling space, filling time. I find it much more compelling to have him in a traditional 5-on-5 match against SmackDown's representation, and that would be interesting to see the two world champions get in the ring. And we already know from a previous interview this year with Jinder Mahal that he would love to get in the ring with Brock Lesnar, so that would be awesome. Samoa Joe, we talked a little earlier, he's going to be coming back soon. They expect him back before the end of October, which means he should have been able to make it to TLC, but apparently that's not going to be the case since Braun is now scheduled to be in the main event, and Joe really has nobody to go against. Other big news this week. First off, this one I find comical. Lucha Underground is going to be the first professional wrestling organization to show one of their episodes in what's known as 4D. So you got 2D, 3D, 4D. 4D is when you go in, if anybody's ever been to like Disney World or Busch Gardens, they have these rides. They're not really rides, but you get in these chairs or seats or whatever, and as you're watching a film on a big screen, you get blasted in the face by wind or water or whatever, and you're supposed to be experiencing all of your senses while you watch a film. They're going to be doing this in Los Angeles, a special screening for their Ultima Libre Trace episode, and it's going to be the first time this is being done anywhere. So it's very cool that Lucha Underground is doing something so innovative. The only thing is, it's going 4D. How about we talk about fourth season, because we haven't heard anything about that yet. And the way they book their stuff and the way they record their shows, the ones we're watching now, they recorded a year and a half ago. We're just now seeing them. If I was talent in that company, I wouldn't re-up with them. I don't care how great and successful you think the product is. You're not able to compete on any other televised product in the United States because of your contract to Lucha Underground, and it is just holding you back from developing as a wrestler. Going to move on to some last tidbits of WWE news for this episode. First off, we're going to jump to MMA and WWE, and that is two different things, two stories this week. One, Conor McGregor actively has announced they're in negotiations with WWE for Conor McGregor to make an appearance at WrestleMania 34. We don't know what capacity he would be at. Stephanie McMahon made a statement last week about how he would be a natural fit for WWE. She said the same thing in the past. Triple H has supported that opinion. So it looks like in some way, shape, or form, Conor McGregor should be involved at WrestleMania 34. And also in the mixed martial arts world, when stopped at the airport, an interviewer spoke to Ronda Rousey. She was getting on a plane with her boyfriend, and the conversation came up about WWE, and she said something to the effect of, "You wouldn't want to know, would you? You know, as a wrestling fan, you want to be surprised." And she really like beat around the bush and didn't want to answer the question, said she didn't want to spoil anything. Well, by saying it like that, you may have already spoiled it. So it sounds like Ronda Rousey's clearly in negotiation. She did mention she's at a crossroads in her career and has to decide what she wants to do. I couldn't agree more. So let's make that decision. Either go back and try to take back your title in UFC, or get off the boat in UFC and jump onto the ship that is WWE, where you could have a very long and prosperous career. Now, the last topic I want to discuss tonight is the big one from this week. Neville and WWE. So, Monday night, during the Raw lead up to the episode going live, the planning around the Cruiserweight Championship shifted several times, as well as the women's championship picture. There was going to be a 6-man women's tag team match. There was going to be a number one contenders match. There was going to be some other match. And eventually they end up with this fatal 5-way. Well, while they're shifting and shuffling that stuff around, it was supposed to be Neville versus Enzo in a lumberjack match. And for some reason, we do not know why yet, Neville walked out. He left Raw, very reminiscent of CM Punk. WWE had to spring into action and come up with an alternative plan. That's where Kalisto was inserted into the match. And instead of just leaving it a lumberjack match, they made it for the title and then gave the championship to Kalisto. I think that's overcompensating. However, various media outlets, every wrestling website I've been able to find, as well as all the ones on Facebook, Twitter, you name it, everybody's talking about it, about Neville quitting WWE. So here is the latest news that I have been able to uncover. This comes directly from a few sources, eWrestling News, WrestleZone.com, as well as some others that I feel very confident in, all having a similar opinion that it's been reported by Brian Alvarez and F4W Online that Neville did indeed in some way ask for his release from WWE, and he did leave the Raw taping, but that WWE has not granted his release and he is still with the company. Now, for those who don't remember, Jack Swagger asked for his release and they made him wait out the rest of his contract. They can do that to Neville. And let's face it, I'm not trying to be mean here, but Neville's no spring chicken. He's been around the wrestling business for quite a while. And if Neville wants to be a top flight talent, he needs to be in the ring. Here's the reality. Him losing the Cruiserweight title, I know I've heard people all week complaining about this. Oh God, Neville, you were the only thing I wanted to see on 205 Live. Look, fans, I am sorry, but I couldn't give two craps about 205 Live. You don't know what I care about? Great wrestling. And you know where Neville would be best used? On Raw or on SmackDown as either the Intercontinental or the United States Champion. That's where he belongs. This Cruiserweight nonsense was great to reinvent his character. He did an amazing job of it. He's over with the fans. People love him. So WWE needed to embrace that, move him away from the Cruiserweight division, away from Enzo Amore, and put him into a top flight feud. Neville has now turned babyface against Enzo Amore. How easy would it have been, because you debuted Kalisto last week, to have Kalisto challenge for the Cruiserweight title, but instead of the main event that we have at TLC, you could have had Braun Strowman, Cesaro, and Sheamus take on the Shield, which would make a lot of sense. And then you could have pulled The Miz and had him defend the Intercontinental Championship against Neville. He could have done a Miz TV segment where he spoke to Neville about losing the Cruiserweight Championship, about what he meant to that division. But that as much as he meant to that division, he didn't mean as much as The Miz has to the Intercontinental Championship. Can you imagine if Neville would progress out of the Cruiserweight division into the Intercontinental Championship division and take the Intercontinental title, ending that long reign of The Miz and really taking an opportunity to elevate that championship even more? I think there's not very many people who wouldn't argue that Neville is one of, if not the best performer in the WWE ring right now, except maybe for AJ Styles. And I'm including Shinsuke Nakamura in that conversation. I think Neville's above Nakamura right now. And in a lot of ways, he and AJ Styles are very similar, so they may be on the same level. And then you're going to let this guy walk away because you don't want to book something that makes more sense. Look, the guy's been a cruiserweight, I get that, but he flourished before, got over with the fans when he was just on the main roster. There is absolutely no reason that you need to bury his character by leaving him with Enzo Amore, who's a completely ridiculous opponent to begin with. I think they should have done the right thing here and moved him over to Raw as a regular performer for that Intercontinental Championship. Don't forget, if you ever want to check out what we're going to talk about on our episodes or want to review what the most recent episode went over, go to frowrestling.com, the homepage of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, go to patreon.com/frowrestlingpodcast. And for this month, the month of October, we have a very big special event going on. Normally, you have to be a $50 contributor to be guaranteed to come on the show with me and do a full episode. Not the case this month. $25 contribution to the Fro Wrestling Podcast and becoming a Patreon member, it will get you an opportunity to co-host an episode of Going Live at 9:05 Saturday nights at some point in the near future. We will book a show together. I will go over all the show notes with you so you know what we're going to talk about. And after that, it's open mic. You talk about what you're passionate about, and we create the episode together. So that's for anybody who becomes a $25 Patreon member this month. Also, if you don't have the opportunity to be a $25 contributor, but you can get to the $10 level, I will put all the $10 level Patreons into a drawing, and whoever's name is drawn from there will also be able to host an episode of Going Live with me on our weekly broadcast. So check that out at patreon.com/frowrestlingpodcast. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next time where we'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks as always go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects used in today's show. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen. And to AlleyRepair.com, contact AlleyRepair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. Be sure to shoot over to our website at FroLifePlanning.com for all your needs in the world of college, universities, or if you just need additional training to get to that next career choice, FroLife Educational Planning can help you through the process. Remember, FroLife Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with FroLife. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro, and I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. And if you want new rumors or any news of the day, go to www.thesportsjunkies101.com and check out those latest articles. And before I go, I can't believe I didn't do this earlier. I have messages on my board I didn't even respond to. Thank you, John the Sports Guy, sending me. He says 205 Live needs to be canceled and change it to another show. I couldn't agree more. I would love to get rid of 205 Live, take that championship, put it back on Raw, and take the women and create an all-women's show. Both brands, one show. And you could have the champions from each brand make appearances on that show to really forward this women's revolution. It would be awesome. And I also see that I have another comment about, wow, great matchup. That would be Braun Strowman versus Samoa Joe. Absolutely phenomenal from John and Hatfield. I love that. I would be all about that. By the way, I don't want to forget my buddy Harold out in St. Louis. Harold, you're the man. My number one Patreon member this month. Thank you so much for being an avid supporter of the podcast. I always appreciate those people who like to tune in every week. Anthony over in Lansdale, Nate out in Sellersville, John in Hatfield, Harold in St. Louis, and many, many others. Thank you all for always being the most amazing audience I could ever ask for. You guys are the best in the world. Until next time, take care, everybody. Have a great night.